Tranquilo. Yeah, come on in. Come on in, everyone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. I won't be long today, but I wanted to share with you on this late morning the song that we're listening to is He Was There All the Time by Reverend James Moore. It's an oldie but a goodie. Amen. Y'all come on in. Hallelujah. Also have my podcast going at the same time, my radio show, Eve's Corner. If you're on podcast, you can look us up at CampbellMinistries.podbean.com. CampbellMinistries.podbean.com. Glory to God. So, I want to have a conversation with you. I would love for you to participate in this conversation. So whether you do that in the comments, whether you do that on Facebook, however you do it. I did a show the other day. It was WOEM, I believe, for Apostle Dr. Vonnie James. And I do her show often. But I was led to also share this information with my own ministry and with each of you. One of the things that happens in life is the enemy will try to trick you into believing that you're all alone, you're all by yourself, no one cares, nobody else is in this situation except me. And in the past, I've talked about things that happen in childhood that kind of lead us to this space, kind of lead us to places of low self-esteem or even anger issues. These types of emotions never come alone. They always come with a series of other feelings and thoughts, sometimes even suicidal thoughts. If your money is funny, if you're tired of going through relationship issues, you're tired of dealing with things with your kids or kids. You're tired of dealing with being picked on, being bullied, being talked about, not having the clothes that everyone else has, not having the name brand shoes that everyone else has. Many times we find ourselves feeling alone and lonely and feeling like there's no help for me. Because the enemy has made you believe that you are the only person that's dealing with this, right? And it takes getting older sometimes and becoming wiser to recognize that you're not the only person and that this is just a part of life, right? But for some people, it can be extreme. So what I want to talk about today is I want to point out in scripture some of the changes that we deal with in emotions that were also found in the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Again, that's 1 Kings chapter 19. Hope that you're having a great day today, but I just wanted to drop some information on you that's been in my spirit. We need to know that we all go through changes. We need to know that we all deal with varying emotions in various seasons of our lives. The Bible says time and chance happens to us all. So we're all going to go through a winter. We're all going to go through a summer where everything is beautiful and everything feels great. But there's also spring. And in spring, things are beginning to bud and come around again, but you're not quite there yet. And in fall, you've just gone through your summer season. It's still kind of warm, but things are not looking the same way they did in summer. The leaves are starting to fade. And so your emotions are kind of the same way. You go through all these passing phases as it relates to how you feel. So in the book, 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, we know that Elijah is a major prophet of God. He is a man of God. He is a believer. One of the tricks that the enemy causes is making us believe that once you become a Christian, you're not supposed to go through certain things anymore. Well, guess what? Keep living. As long as you're alive, you're going to have to deal with something. Now, the goal is that we pass all these individual tests and we don't have to continue going through some of the same things over and over, but you're still going to have to deal with something. Amen. And the enemy's goal is to get you off track. Remember, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So in 1 Kings, we see that Ahab had told Queen Jezebel that Elijah had slaughtered the prophets of Baal, which is the wicked, ungodly prophets, her folks. And that was over in 1 Kings 18th chapter. You can find that information in your time, in your spare time. But she sent a message back to Elijah, the man of God, to say, stuff is falling down, to say, okay, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you because I'm sick of you. I'm sick of all of these things that, you're doing to better the community, to help the community, to try to make changes. And it's funny because I look at my own situation. You know, those territorial demons don't want to leave, but they don't have a choice. Amen. And so here it is that Elijah was doing some work of the Lord as he was called and required to do. He was doing good and it made somebody mad. Don't y'all know that every time you're doing something good, the enemy is not happy. Every time you're doing something good, he uses somebody to say something negative to you to throw you off track. And when someone threatens us, especially threatens our lives, like in this situation with Queen Jezebel and Elijah, you know, what we see is Elijah reacted like many of us would. Nobody's going to just threaten your life and you not have some type of a reaction. It's human, right? We're spiritual people, but we still live in this body, in the earth. And so he had a human reaction. So here, Elijah basically goes on the run. So my goal is that in talking about these things, we recognize not just the emotions that Elijah went through, but we need to stay better connected to other people that we know, other people in the kingdom, other people in our families who are showing some of the same signs as Elijah, who we recognize are looking like they're on the run or running from something and just can't seem to settle down, or they start out hot one minute, they're cold the next, or they start out one minute and they're running for God and something has threatened them. So whether it's a threat of your life, whether it's a threat in your finances, whether it's a threat with your children or your marriage, or you're dealing with something that now appears negative after you've gone out to do the work, after you've gone out and obeyed God, something is still threatened in your life. Amen. So in this case, his life is threatened and he goes out on the run. So let me pause here and say, no, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Yes, God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. But just because we're human, when we receive a threat of any kind, it can negatively impact us. I don't care how deep and spiritual you are. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. I don't care if you're at church warming the pew every Sunday and you always sit on the second seat on the right side and you've written your name on the back of the pew and it says, my seat reserved. No one else can sit here. Guess what? Things are going to happen to you as well. So here it is, as a part of our human emotion, you may not become afraid. You may be a person who becomes angry when somebody threatens you or when somebody lashes out at you. You may lash out at them. With many of us, we've not gotten away from retaliation. God is still helping us in that area. They say something smart and you have to have the last word. You have to say something back. Amen. Whatever your situation is, I need you to understand that Elijah is a man of God and he was on the run, running for his life because of a threat. He left his servant behind and he went into what the Bible calls a deep wilderness. Many people go into a deep, dark place when it comes down to being threatened or things not working out well or things not going their way. That's what Elijah did. He went into a deep wilderness. And now he's not only afraid, but he feels like he's all alone, running for his life. And the Bible says that he finally stopped and sat down under a tree. So Elijah sits down under this tree and he prayed that he would die. Some people don't just pray it. They may tell people they want to die. They may tell people that they feel suicidal. They may tell people that they don't want to be here anymore because you feel like the issue that you're facing is overwhelming. You feel like you're all alone. You have low self-esteem. You have low self-worth. You're tired. You're ready to give up. I came to talk to you today. You are important to God, and God sent this word just for you. Amen. Now here it is that Elijah's added another series of emotions, because see, once you go out into this deep, dark place, then all kinds of other thoughts and all kinds of other things begin to happen in his mind. And it's likely that they've begun to happen in you as well, because depression also brings hopelessness. Amen. And I'm sure at this point, he's questioning a lot of things about himself, about his life, about his calling. He may be even saying, God, you got me out here. Now what am I supposed to do? God, you've got me out here. And this lady wants to kill me. So he told the Lord that he had had enough. Elijah told God that he was ready to simply give up, that he'd rather be dead than face the things that had been thrown at him. And many of us have been there. Many of us have been in a space where we feel like, I would just rather quit. I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to deal with this. It's over. I'm done. Many of us have found ourselves in this place. If the marriage is not working, if the kids are acting up, if you just got fired from your job and you needed that job, or, you know, people are ridiculing you and giving you a hard time or saying that, you know, you're not a very good worker and she's supposed to be a pastor. He's supposed to be a pastor. So now they're looking at you for perfection and they don't even recognize that you have your own problems and you have been pressing your way to try to get through all of these things. And here it is, you're trying to take care of the church and you still don't have enough money to pay your own bills. You're trying to take care of your adult children and you don't have enough money to pay your own bills. Your own bills are late, but you're trying to help your kids buy tires. You're trying to help your kids buy diapers. You're trying to help your kids pay their light bill. And you've allowed yourself to extend yourself up beyond what you have. Maybe it's not money. Maybe you're giving and giving and giving counseling and help and advice, and you're up late at night and people don't know that you're depressed yourself. Maybe you're trying to help other people. They're asking you for $10 for gas and they don't know that your car is on E2. Amen. Same thing with our emotions. With many of us, oftentimes we don't say where we are until it's too late. We don't say, I don't have the capacity to deal with this until it's too late. Many of you pastors that may be watching or listening on the podcast may be saying, I'm tired of those hard-headed church folks. I feel like I'm out here by myself. Yeah, y'all, we feel that way too. Y'all get tired of us preaching, and we get tired of y'all not listening. It happens, but everybody's not going to tell you that. Amen? Everybody's not going to be honest with you. So you need to know, we sit back sometimes and say, Lord, just like Elijah, I did what you told me to do. They're still not responding in the way that they should. I've done what I've been called to do. Some of these teachers may be looking at their students on the first day of school here in Jackson saying, Lord, I can't take this. I can't do it anymore. I've done what I was supposed to do. And these kids are different. They're hard-headed. They're cursing. They're not listening. And children nowadays are carrying weapons and ready to fight the teachers. You know, it used to be when I was in school, man, if the teacher even caught you passing a note, please don't shoot a spitball. When I tell you, you knew you had the fear of God in you and you had respect for your teachers. It's not like that now. So we need to be praying for some of these teachers who are dealing with students right now and they're second guessing their own abilities. The teachers are second guessing why they took this job in the first place. The teachers are second guessing. I don't know why I came over here to this school. I thought I would be able to be of help and these kids don't want to learn. That's not the case. We, people of God, are dealing with a real enemy. It's not the children that you're looking at. It's not the spouse that you're looking at. It's not the bills that you're looking at. But there is a real enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Come on, you know the word. The enemy has come to get us off track. So we're not focusing on God and we're not focusing on the things we're supposed to be doing because something did not go our way. Oftentimes when you're working for the Lord, to be honest with you, you will have a target on your back. People don't want to see you coming. Amen. But that's okay. Now they want you to come if somebody's sick. They want you to come if somebody died. They want you to come when they want you to do their weddings. But outside of that, if it's not something that they want you to do, they really want you to just be quiet and just be there at their beck and call. Let's just be honest. Everybody does not want a word. Everybody does not want a real word. Everybody does not want real help. And so they allow themselves to fall in situations like this because they have not been consistently getting a word in the first place. They have not consistently been being fed in the first place. See, people of God, Elijah was giving and giving and giving. But the next thing that happened in scripture is while he was out in the wilderness, the Lord sent an angel. And the angel touched him and told him to do something natural. He said, get up and go eat. Don't you know, that seems like a simple thing. But this is the message. You have to take care of yourself before you can take care of other people. I'm talking to you pastors. I'm talking to you teachers. I'm talking to you apostles. I'm talking to you parents. I am talking to you husbands. You cannot take care of other people if you're not taking care of yourself. It begins to become depleting. And this is why you found yourself now in a place of depression. This is why you found yourself now in a place where you feel like you're all alone. You've got to take care of yourself. The angel told him to get up and go eat. He looked around and he saw that God had given him fresh bread. The Bible says it was fresh bread baking on hot stones. And he had a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he laid down. He laid down twice so that he could get some rest. So rest is very important as it relates to our mindset. Rest is very important as it relates to taking care of ourselves before we try to take care of other people. These are some natural, regular, everyday things that make a huge difference in how we feel and how we allow our emotions to run rampant. If you take care of yourself, the likelihood is that these types of things will not keep happening. You should not continue to go into these cycles. Amen. So here, Elijah ate, drank, and laid down. He got enough sleep, and he got up. And many times, because we're on the go and we're in the hustle and bustle of life, we take care of everybody else, but we cannot fail to do the simple things that take care of us. The other thing is this: God provided fresh bread, not stale bread. He didn't have to go search around for something to eat. He wasn't out in the wilderness like John the Baptist eating locusts and wild honey. But here this man of God is. He's on the run and he recognizes, first of all, wait a minute, I'm not alone. The angel of the Lord is here with me. The next thing is, God provided for him. He did not just provide food and water, but what he provided was also rest. It reminds us of the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." God causes us to rest because he is a good shepherd. Amen. He feeds us. He allows us to walk beside the still waters. He's restoring my soul while I'm resting and I'm in this place of peace. In addition to that, he will cause our cups to run over with more than enough joy, more than enough love, more than enough peace. Amen. I need you to know today that you are not alone. Don't feel like nobody loves you, because somebody does love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. God loves you. Your family members love you. See, the thing is we can't base where we are on how other people treat us, because people are fickle. They change on a regular basis. Amen. So I want to remind you on today, just like Elijah, when you're dealing with things and you feel like you're out in the wilderness all by yourself, know that you are not alone. You're not alone in how you feel. You're not alone physically, mentally, or emotionally. You are not alone. You are not the only person that has ever felt this way. So you don't have to feel guilty about how you feel at the moment. You don't have to feel guilty about just running out of gas. You don't have to feel guilty, because many of us have been in this place before. Amen. We can all find ourselves here, and it's not unusual. And it does not mean that you're not a spiritual person. It just means that you need to do some things differently. Amen. You've got to change up how you do things. And the enemy will come to try to implant these negative thoughts in our minds and have us operating in our emotions. Just because we're not taking care of ourselves, then we allow the enemy to get close enough to us to speak into our ears, to speak into our gates, to cause us to look at somebody else from your eyes, your ears, and your mouth are your gates. So the enemy will cause us to see somebody else that just looks way too happy, and that's just it. We're done. Amen. The enemy will cause somebody to say something to us or threaten us in some way, and there it is. We're done. You know, and it may not even be a threat on you per se, but they say something and it makes us feel like we're less than. They say something and it makes us feel like, oh, their marriage is perfect. Or I'll never be able to get married. I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to have kids. And that's not the case. The enemy just wants you off track. So you're out of place when the Lord comes in with your blessing as you're going through these seasons of your life. You may be in winter right now, but know that spring and summer are coming. Amen. You may be in autumn right now, but know that winter will come. Personally, I like the winter season. I like the cold because it's supposed to kill off things and we are preparing for a fresh start. The winter for me is a time of stillness. It's a time of peace. It's a time of rest. Things slow down. People are not on the road so much. Personally, I like winter, but for some of us, we don't like winter because you cannot see things growing. But see, there comes a time in our lives when some things have to die out. And for me, that's wintertime. Things have to die out so that we can prepare for the fresh and the new. Amen. Just like Elijah was in a place by himself and he received fresh bread from the Lord. He also received water. Now we know about water from Jesus sitting at the well waiting on the Samaritan woman. And he told her that I'm going to give you a water that will cause you to never thirst again. People of God, I want you to know today that some of you may be feeling really thirsty. Some of you may be feeling like there has been nothing fresh or new, engaging, exciting. There's been nothing that fulfilled you. But I want you to know today that Jesus is that living water. I want you to know today that he will give you your daily bread. All you have to do is ask him. I want you to know today that you are not alone. So today is your day to let go of the depression. Today is your day to let go of feeling obsolete or less than. Today is your day to stop feeling like somebody is picking on you. Somebody's talking about you. Somebody really doesn't like you. The people don't want the ministry in the community. The devil is a liar. And y'all know I'm in this with you. Many of you know the things that have happened to my church building, but it hasn't happened to my ministry. You see, God gave me that vision. God gave me those buildings, the church as well as the gymnasium. And I want you to know today, I'm in this fight with you. I have to remind myself on a daily basis, every time I have to go to clean up something that the vagrants have left or go to deal with the fire and trying to gain grants and funding and just assistance and cleaning the building up, I will not be discouraged because I know that those are just demons that don't want me there. They're using the vagrants. The vagrants have a need. They need shelter. They need housing. Some of them have pets. Their pets need to be rehoused. They need food. And see, the very ministry that they're trying to hurt, the very ministry that they're trying to stop from being there is the very ministry that offers all of that programming. And they don't know that because they're so busy thinking, oh no, she's coming to take us out of our building. It's not yours. Those are territorial demons trying to hinder me, but they're also hindering the people that I'm there to help. See how the devil fools you? I want you to know today, I am in this thing with you. I want you to know today, and we're going to pray before I get ready to close out. We need to recognize that God is still with us. You need to know today that you are not alone. God has not forgotten about you. And guess what? God is going to send you the help that you need. God is going to send Campbell Ministries and the Charity Church Complex the help that we need, just like he did with Elijah. After Elijah had the opportunity to eat and get some rest, the angel told him, look, eat as much as you can because you have a journey to continue. You've got to go 40 days and 40 nights, and this is going to sustain you. I'm here to tell somebody, get what you need from God today because you have a journey. There is purpose in your life. There is purpose in my life. There is purpose in Campbell Ministries and the Charity Church Complex. Know today that God has you here for a reason. Even if you feel like Elijah and you've moved on to now where you've gone from being under a tree to hiding out in a cave, but it took God to say, what are you doing here? And of course, Elijah's answer is all about the people. Well, Lord, you know, you already know, and these folks, you know, I worked hard, Lord, and I did everything you told me to do. And these people, you know, are causing me this problem. And these people are causing me that problem. And then God gives him instructions, first of all, to go out and stand before him on the mountain. Get up, Elijah, stand up. See, sometimes we have to change our posture. It's no more hiding in the cave for most of us on today, people of God. And I need you to get this. There's no more hiding in a cave. Change your posture. God told him to get up and stand before me. And the Lord passed by him. But guess what? There came a windstorm. The windstorm didn't take whisper. And when he heard it, he wrapped his face in his scarf and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice asked him again, God has to come back to some of us because we may not get it the first time. But today is your day, people of God. It's a new week. It's a new day. Amen. God asked him again, Elijah, why are you here? I'm asking you, why are you here? Why have you found yourself in this space and in this place? Why are you here? And Elijah still doesn't get it. And he responds to God the same way. Why? Because he's still all out of sorts. He's still out of place. He didn't even recognize how God protected him from the windstorm, and God protected him from the earthquake, and God protected him from the fire, and the fire did not take him out. This should remind us that even in the midst of all of our mess, God is still with us, people of God. God is still with you. God is still with me. Amen. After that, the Lord gave Elijah instructions, and this is important. While you're in a place of hiding out, you're in your wilderness, you're in your low place, I want you to know today that if you change your posture, you can hear your next steps from God. Change your posture. God told him to go back. He said, go back. God is not fixing to just let you give up. God is not fixing to just let you run away. He has a plan for your very life. Amen. You've got to go back. And he told him who he needs to anoint in leadership to help him. People of God, sometimes we're tired because we're trying to do it all by ourselves. You don't have to do this thing all by yourself. You didn't ever have to be alone. Amen. We all need help. And God told him who to anoint as his assistant as well. And many of us who are Bible scholars know that Elisha became not just his assistant at that time and went along with him and was there with him, but Elisha later became his predecessor. He was training the person that was going to take his place, because we all have a time and season as well. Amen. Then God still had to check him. Because y'all know sometimes we think we're the only ones doing good. We think we're the only ones who are coming to church. We think we're the only ones who are paying our tithes. We think we're the only ones who are going through something and have to deal with an enemy trying to hinder us from the plan of God for our lives. But God told him, look, just so you know, you were never doing anything by yourself, Elijah. You need to know that there were 7,000 other men who are following me. You're not the only person following God. There are 7,000 other men, is what God told Elijah at that time. Know this, you're not by yourself. You're not the only, you're not the last man standing. You're not the only one obeying God. But you just thought you were alone because you couldn't see past your own issue. You just thought you were alone because you couldn't see past what you were going through. Amen. You were never alone. Sometimes we get it twisted and we cannot even see what's right in front of us. And we know what the threat of the enemy may be, but it's only there to distract you from what's in front of you. It's there to distract you so you run and get off track and you're not where you're supposed to be. The blessing is coming to a place, and that place is wherever God told you to be. So if you're not in that place, spiritually, physically, emotionally, you can't get what you need because you're not where God said for you to be. Yes, God still took care of Elijah in the wilderness, but after he ate, he fed him, he gave him some living water, he told him, you've got to go back. People of God, go back to who God called you to be. Go back to where God called you to be. Go back to doing the things that you know are right to do. Scripture says, be not weary in well doing, but in due season, you will reap. I want you to know that every seed that you've planted is going to come up. I want you to know that all the love that you've given is going to come back to you. I want you to know the joy, the love, the peace, whatever you've sown into other people, it is going to come back to you. Your enemy may still be making threats, but I want you to know that even in the rough places, the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, sometimes we feel like we're going through fire, but in all of those things, you've got to know that God is still with you. God is keeping you. God is shielding you. God is still feeding you. Hallelujah. And God is still protecting you. Your emotions are a part of your flesh, and you've got to be led by the voice of God. So that way, that means that we've got to keep eating that daily bread, the word of God. Amen. It means that we've got to keep our flesh under so that we can hear God clearly. For every man, woman, boy, and girl that may be listening on this morning, amen, we're going into afternoon here in Central Standard Time, whomever may be listening at this time, know that the only way to truly deal with your emotions is to stay before the face of God. Stay in place. Keep focusing on God. Keep focusing on what God has called you to do. You don't have to run from the enemy. Amen. The Bible says one can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. All you have to do is get in agreement. If you don't have a prayer partner or somebody to pray with you, I want to pray with you quickly and let you get back to your day. We need to understand we are not alone. Amen. Come on, let's pray and align ourselves with the word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now, God, for everyone who is under the sound of my voice. God, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you praise for your word. Thank you, God, that you are an all-knowing and an all-seeing God, and you know who needed to hear this word on today. God, I glorify you and I praise you for reminding us that you have been with us all the time. Thank you, God, for reminding us that even when we go through rough patches, you are not only still there, but you continue to feed us and shield us and protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Thank you, God, for reminding us that it's the enemy who wants us to get off track and stay off track so that we're out of place for the blessings that you have for us. God, I glorify you and I praise you now for lifting up bowed down heads on this morning. I glorify you, God, for causing your people's joy to be returned and multiplied. I thank you, God, and I praise you, God, for letting us know that we are not the only ones praising you, but at the moment, sometimes all we can see is what's right in front of us. Thank you, God, to continue to hold up the bloodstained banner against every threat that may come in our lives. God, I praise you and I thank you now for your people being encouraged, inspired, and uplifted on this morning. I thank you, God, and I praise you now for being the lifter of our heads, for being our strong tower. God, I thank you and I praise you now for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer. God, I thank you for being Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Thank you, God, for what you're getting ready to do in and through your people. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in this kingdom, in your kingdom, God. Your will be done in our lives, God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We know, God, that in the heavenly realm, we're already healed. We know, God, that in the heavenly realm, we're already set free and delivered. We know, God, that in the heavenly realm, we have all of our provisions met. All of our needs are met. It is so in the name of Jesus. And so it is in heaven. God, we say it is so in the earth. We declare and we decree financial freedom right now in the name of Jesus. We declare and we decree debt free in the name of Jesus. We declare and we decree, God, that you are sending the help that we need to the Charity Church Complex, who is going to do everything that they need to get the church up and running. We declare and we decree, God, no more depression, no more guilt, no more anger issues in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, I praise you, and I glorify you now. In Jesus' name, we count it done by faith. Amen and Amen. Listen, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, please do like and share on your Facebook page. We want to make sure that we're able to encourage one another in love. Amen. We want to make sure that we're able to inspire our children and raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Some of your children probably didn't even want to go to school today and you didn't even ask why. You just told them, oh no, you're going to school. Listen, we want to make sure to get this word out to everyone who needs it. So therefore, please like and share the message. May God bless you and may God keep you is our prayer. The Lord was there all the time. God bless you.